Good afternoon. I'm Mark Allen with Gaper.io, and I'm here today with Deepak Srivastava, the CFO of the Flex Company. I think I got it right. Did I, Deepak?
You got it right. Thank you, Mark. No, good to be here. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us today. So to start with, can you just give us a brief, description of your background, where you've been before the Flex Company?
Sure. So in a previous life, I was an investment banker at Morgan Stanley, focused mainly on the travel, hospitality, hotel, and casino gaming space. My work there took me to places from New York to San Francisco to LA to Hong Kong, where I spent more than half my banking career at. Decided to switch gears, return back to the US, joined up with, at the time, which was a small startup, which grew to be a bigger startup by the name of Dropbox. Had tons of fun, moved back to New York, started my own travel tech company by the name of Porter & Sale, which we ultimately sold through the pandemic to a much larger pre-IPO Australian travel company. Had incubated an additional company also in the travel space that we eventually merged with another company. And now I find myself as the CFO of the Flex Company, which is not in travel, not in finance, not in tech, but in the consumer products and medical device space.
Very good. So you've been around. You've been all over the world, it sounds like.
It's been fun, but I still very much am a jaded and snobby New Yorker.
Well, having lived in New York, I have a special place in my heart. Both my children were born in the state of New York. And I did live in New York City for a little while I was in college. So
there's tell us no about better place, but yes.
it's definitely different than the West Coast, no doubt about it. So tell us about the Flex Company. You touched on it, but what is your product? Who is your audience? All those things.
Sure. The Flex Company was founded by our CEO, Lauren Schulte Wang. We are the number one sustainable menstrual care product in the world. We produce and manufacture alternatives to tampons. Essentially, tampons are the number one menstrual care product that was developed and invented by a man almost 100 years ago. So it's about high time there's been innovation in the space. And we always like to say that if men had periods, the technology and solutions in the space would be light years ahead of where it is today. Mm-hmm. So very much with the foresight that Lauren, our CEO and founder, has had, we sell mainly menstrual discs and menstrual cups, which are body safe tools to handle menstrual care.
Quite interesting. You don't really think of that being, especially being a male, I don't think of those things, but you're right. I mean, I don't know of any innovation in that area since I've been alive. So when did the Flex Company start?
Lauren took the Flex Company through Y Combinator back in 2015, 2016, I believe. We launched via our direct-to-consumer business and have grown the business considerably over the last 5-6 years plus to now expand into multiple retail chains and almost 30,000 doors here in the US, amongst retailers, including Walmart, Target, CVS, Rite Aid, Walgreens, et cetera. So I believe now anywhere any American lives within 5 miles, you have access to a Flex product.
Interesting. I actually live about 2 miles from CVS, so I'll have to look for it next time I'm there.
Please do.
Yes. I will. Cool. Very cool. I'll have to tell I have 5 sisters, so I will certainly tell them about it, and a daughter.
Wonderful.
Cool. So you've been all over the world. Sounds like you've had many jobs. What is your thought on or your experiences with remote developers? If you're in New York and you have workers in other parts of the world, what have you done in that realm in the past?
Sure. I've had the opportunity and luxury, quite frankly, to work with remote teams, not only within software development, but broadly speaking in multiple business and commercially oriented functions. Specifically within the software development world, I've had the chance at even my own companies and here at the Flex Company to work with developers that range across several different geographies, Eastern Europe, South America, Latin America, Asia as well. The experience overall has been positive. Positive in the sense that, and you had mentioned this before in sort of our pre-chat, you have folks working when you're sleeping. And I think that really adds a lot of value in terms of pushing business initiatives, goals, and targets forward. but also recognizing the fact that there's talent pools that are accessible, especially in a post-pandemic world, where you can have those access to those talent pools in a very cost-effective manner and still work very collaboratively in a very positive way. So overall, it's been a great experience, something that I think if companies and management team members at other in other spaces and other places in the world, if they haven't explored yet, I'm sure they've explored it in earnest, especially in a post-pandemic world.
Yeah, and you being the CFO, I mean, I'm sure you see the numbers. There is a noticeable difference between, as an example, well, just someone from, you know, somewhere in South America versus a Stanford grad, for lack of a better example. Not in terms of work, but in terms of cost.
That's right. Look, there's advantages to both, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I do believe there's no substitute for having a colleague sitting next to a colleague in an office and working on something together. There are distinct advantages in having that arrangement, but there are also advantages of working with someone collaboratively across the world or across borders. Mm-hmm. Yes, from a financial perspective, if I'm wearing my CFO hat, there are a lot of cost-effective solutions out there in the software development world by offshoring those types of resources, right? But at the same time, that's what I think has increasingly been clear is that that doesn't mean that there's a sacrifice on quality of work. And mm-hmm. I think that's the key point that a lot of folks in my seat have begun to realize, particularly over the last, call it 12 to 24 months.
Yeah, and I would agree. And from my dealings in this area, and you can tell me if you agree or not or disagree, I've noticed that when you have a software development, and I always say don't have a person in Uruguay and a person in Ukraine and a person in China, right? Have a team in another part of the world where you still get that they can walk next to each other, right? But the other thing is that it does when you have remote development teams, it forces you to be more disciplined, you know, at the corporate office because they're working when you're asleep. And so you have to make sure you properly document what they need to do. Correct? Have you noticed that?
Oh, 100%, right? There's it's easy to waste time or have time leakage, as I like to call it, when someone is right next to you, or you mm-hmm. have the luxury or know kind of in the back of the mind, like, hey, I can drop them a call first thing tomorrow morning or whenever I need to. But when or operating in a remote environment, and again, the pandemic has taught us this mm-hmm. in earnest, working with anyone, a developer or not, you need to make sure you're disciplined in terms of the time and the literal FaceTime that you have on Zoom or Google Meets or whatever platform you use to make sure that time is well spent, that there is an efficiency towards understanding what the common and shared goals are, who's doing what, who's aligned where. That discipline has been required and I think has been enacted in all our work streams across software development, but also other key business functional areas as well.
Yeah, I would agree. And it seemed like once the pandemic hit, the big challenge was making sure everybody had a place to work at home and, you know, learn Zoom. But after that, it was like, well, we got to get our act together. We got to make sure that, you know, these people aren't coming into the office for a while. We got to make sure they know what they do when they wake up.
Yeah, providing the ample and appropriate work environment is one part of the equation, right? So our company, we went through great lengths, just like others when the pandemic hit, to make sure that our staff were well-equipped, whether it was platforms like Zoom or having access to those types of subscriptions that make remote work easily or more adept at being doing work remotely from home, or things like physically, do you have an ergonomic chair? Do you need a mouse? Do you need a different type of laptop or keyboard? These things, I think, went a long way to make folks and staff feel comfortable working from home. But that's one part of the equation. The other part of the equation is, well, one also needs to change the way in which they work. And that's mm-hmm. where that discipline sort of comes in to make sure that you're changing and upgrading and evolving how you interact with colleagues, both that someone is outside of your home in the same town or someone who's sitting in a seat, halfway across the world.
Right. And let's just talk about the Flex company. Are you 100% remote company or do you have an office in LA or what is your situation?
We are in a hybrid work environment. We do have an office in Los Angeles. We actually have a satellite space in New York as well. But we are also remote. And as you can imagine, especially through the pandemic, We made some hires, our business grew, and those hires weren't necessarily required to be near any one of our offices. We do not require mandatory attendance in the office currently, nor are we requiring that people have to sort of be in even on a partial basis or clock in an hour or spend X amount of time. We are completely hybrid and are remote friendly 100%.
Interesting. And are you at the office now, or are you elsewhere?
I am not in the office, no, but I do plan on going in tomorrow. You know, I perhaps call me old school, and I know some of my colleagues feel the same way, where, like I said, there is no substitute sometimes to sitting next to someone and getting work done. So I think when the time calls for it, as appropriate, it's helpful to be right next to each other in the office. That environment is sometimes welcomed as well.
And I would agree with you on that, especially you build those bonds when you get to know a person on a, more than just through a little window like this.
Correct. Right. That's absolutely correct.
Yeah. So where do you think it's going to go? I mean, let's just say use the Flex company. You think you're going to stay 100% remote for as long as you can?
I believe that having a remote component to the modern work lifestyle will continue to be a critical and crucial component. From an opportunistic perspective, you know, someone in a management seat like mine, I see that as, wow, we now have access to so much talent anywhere in the world, because mm-hmm. from an infrastructure perspective, we are set up to be remote. So mm-hmm. being remote is no longer a barrier to getting good and quality work done and work collaboratively, on teams. And I see that as an opportunity to access the type of talent that we want to have join in our teams, no matter where they are. And from a defensive perspective, quite frankly, any company that sort of goes into 2022 or 2023 and beyond and mandates that 100% of their workforce report to an office 9 to 5, clock in, clock out, you know, I think there are a distinct advantage of losing the talent war. And I would not bet on that horse. Let's put it that way.
I would agree. And I think companies are starting to learn that there are employees or potential employees that are saying, I need to work from remotely for at least part of the week. I don't seem like you and I live in two cities with some of the worst traffic in the country.
Yeah.
Right. And for me to get into San Francisco, it takes an hour. I don't know how long it takes you to get into your office, but you lose 2 hours a day.
Mark, it might be 20 minutes. It might be 2 hours. I don't know now. I really don't know. And you're absolutely right. Like, remote work, I don't think necessarily just means like, okay, well, you have to go into the office, you have to go in these different times. Like, you know, on a personal basis, traffic is one big variable. I do like to go in the office. Do you think though, am I gonna drive to the office tomorrow morning during traffic hour? Definitely not, right? I have the flexibility. My work and my office, my team gives me that flexibility. Like, hey, it doesn't make sense for you to drive early in the morning, 8:30 a.m. when the 405 is busy as all hell. No, come in later, take a call, or do it when it makes sense. Right. And much the same way, if the pandemic has taught any of us, you know, certain things are no longer table stakes, right? Like, one of the things that I really enjoy is taking a break for about 30 minutes in the middle of the afternoon and going to pick up my daughter from preschool.
Mm-hmm.
That was a luxury, right? Mm-hmm. For me to be able to do that. Now, I don't think that's a luxury. I think that's table stakes for anyone out there. They want that flexibility to say, hey, I'm going to take a break during the middle of the day. And because I have a remote friendly work environment, I can take that break. I can carve out that time and do what I need to handle, even though it's smack in the middle of a quote unquote workday.
Right.
Like, this is a new dynamic that's welcomed, and I don't think it's going anywhere.
I would agree. And that is a quality of life issue for both you and your daughter, I would assume.
Totally.
She will remember that the rest of her life, that daddy picked me up.
I hope so. It's a special moment, right? And I think it'll go a long way.
Yes, my daughter, full disclosure, is 33.
I hope you're not picking her up from work.
No, she actually works at Google. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that. So she has her own car.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
And she lives much closer to New York than to San Francisco.
Fair enough.
But yes, I mean, I agree. And I've worked from home a lot, and I used to do things like that, you know, before it was commonplace.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah. Well, Deepak, it's been great talking to you. Sounds like you have a great product. And just the fact that the innovation you brought to this industry, hopefully, you know, a lot of people who menstruate will hear this and will learn about your product more.
Yeah, no, that'd be wonderful. You know, we've really enjoyed explosive growth in a space that's really exciting. We're happy to be leaders in the space that, you know, we continue to be the number one sustainable product out there. And we just want to get more and more of our wonderful product into people's hands, because we do believe that it is high time that there's innovation that comes to our space, and we're happy to be leaders in that.
I would agree. Well, thank you for your time, sir, and have a great day.
Wonderful. Thanks so much, Mark. Enjoy.